This week we have that great 11th chapter of Hebrews, the Hall of Faith. God's men who have put their faith in Him and have seen the hand of God and the work of God in such a mighty way. The chapter was written for our exhortation that we too might learn to put our trust and our faith in God, knowing that God will bring us through. The first verse tells us what faith is all about. It's the substance of things that we're hoping for, the evidence of things that we do not yet see. I believe the Word of God. I believe the promises of God. I believe them by faith. Some of them I have not yet experienced, but I know that I shall. I know that God is faithful. And while I wait for God to fulfill His promises, it is faith that sustains me, faith that encourages me, faith that keeps me going. In verse 6, it tells us, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Now we often say, well, I believe in God. But when a person says that, often it is necessary to define just what do they mean by God. They might be referring to some unintelligible force in the universe. They might be talking about some ethereal essence of love that seems to prevail in their minds. Or if you're talking to Shirley MacLaine, she might be talking about herself when she says, I believe in God. There are many people who say, I believe in God, and they believe that that's sufficient to get them in heaven. So they say, but I believe in God. Well, surely that ought to open heaven for me because I've said I believe in God. But just believing that God does exist does not really open heaven for you. James said, you say you believe God? You think that's great? Don't you realize even the devils believe and tremble? It's more than just believing in the existence of God. And it is important what you believe about God. There is only one true God, the eternal creator of the universe. The disciples, when they prayed, said, O Lord, you are God. You've created the heavens and the earth and everything that is in them. So when we say, I believe in God, we are talking about the eternal God, the creator of all things. When Paul was in Athens, he was invited by the philosophers to come up to Mars Hill to expound this new teaching that they found rather novel. And so as Paul began his address to the Athenian philosophers, he said, I perceive that you are very religious people. As I've been going through your marketplace, I've observed the many altars that you have erected for your various gods. And I noticed there was one altar and it was inscribed to the unknown God. I'd like to tell you about this God because he's the one that created the universe. And in him we live and we move and we have our being. You see, there's only one true God and the rest are false gods. Now, there are two things that I need to know about God. Number one, that he does indeed exist. He that cometh unto God must believe that he is. Secondly, I must believe that he will reward those who diligently seek him. And my believing that he does exist and that he will reward me if I diligently seek him, that pleases him. For without faith, we are told, it is impossible to please God. Now, when I say recite the Apostles' Creed, and I say, I believe in God the Father, the Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified and died and was buried and descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. It's important that I believe those things. But do I truly believe them, or am I just reciting words by rote? Am I just mouthing words, but in my heart of hearts, do I truly believe in such a God, the Creator, who sent his Son to this earth, who died for my sins, but rose again on the third day and is in heaven making intercession for me? Do I really believe that? Oftentimes when we make an assertion, such as, well, I believe in God and I believe in the Bible, that it is the Word of God. Yes, I believe in the promises of God. Many times when we've made those assertions, God will then put us to the test. And we will go through times of testing to see whether we really believe it or not. And so we read concerning Abraham, this great man of faith, that God put his faith to the test. In verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. And so Abraham's faith was tested. It first began when he was still living in the Ur of the Chaldees. And the Lord spoke to Abraham and said, I want you to get out of this land. I want you to leave your parents, and I want you to journey to a land that I will show you, that afterwards I will give to your descendants forever. And so Abraham left the Ur of the Chaldees, not knowing where he was going, and he began his journey searching for a city whose foundation and maker and builder was God. He was looking for the city of God, the city that God had promised to give to him. Now, can you imagine Abraham going into his parents and saying, well, I'm going to leave home. Oh, well, why are you leaving home, Abraham? Well, God told me to. Well, where are you going? Well, I really don't know. God hasn't shown me yet, but I've got to go. And he began to journey. Now, which way do you go? Do you go north? Do you go south? Do you go east? Do you go west? He's going to trust the Lord to guide him to a land that afterwards God will give to his descendants forever. Now, he did journey south and west about 450 miles till he came to the land of Israel. And as he stood on one of the high mountains of that land, Bethel, in the center of the land, God said, all right, now look to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. And as far as you can see, I have given this land to you and to your descendants. And so Abraham, by faith, journeyed until God showed to him the land that he promised to give to the descendants of Abraham as a perpetual possession. By faith, Abraham lived in that land. But he lived in tents. He didn't build a home. He just lived in tents as a stranger and as a sojourner in the land. The land that he knew, this land is one day going to belong to my children, to my descendants. This is the land that they're going to inherit. And so he journeyed himself as a stranger, but believing the promises of God that this is the land that God will give to my descendants. Now, Abraham's faith was tested many times and on many occasions. And I think that it's important for us to realize that Abraham didn't pass all of the tests. Some of the tests of faith, Abraham failed. And he was required to take the test over again. There was a famine in the land of Israel. And so Abraham's faith was tested, but he failed. He journeyed down to Egypt in order to get food. And when he came into Egypt, he said to his wife Sarah, "Honey, you are so gorgeous, so beautiful. Do me a big favor. Tell the people here that you're my sister. Don't let them know you're my wife. If they think you're my wife, they'll kill me in order that they might take you for themselves." And so Abraham and Sarah said, "Oh, no, she's my sister." And someone went to the Pharaoh and they said, "Did you see the gorgeous woman that just came into Egypt with her brother?" And so the Pharaoh took Sarah into his harem, and God had to rescue her by divine intervention because Abraham failed the test of faith. 22 years later, when they came to Gerar, Abraham again said to Sarah, "Honey, tell them you're my sister. You're still so beautiful that they'll kill me in order to have you. So just say you're my sister that I might live." Again, he failed the test of faith. And King Abimelech took Sarah into his harem. And once again, God had to deliver Sarah by divine intervention. Now, I don't know why, but somehow I get comfort in the fact that Abraham's faith failed at times. He wasn't perfect all of the time. And I draw comfort from that because I realize that my faith sometimes fails. I don't always pass the test. I always have that knowledge, though, when I fail the test, I'm going to have to take it over. And you know, isn't it interesting how we hate tests? What was the most unfavorite day in school? Friday, test day. You know, when you had to take the test. Oh, how we hated having to take a test. And we're not always pleased when God puts us through the test. I don't like my faith to be tested. I don't like faith. I am always trying to reduce things from faith to understanding. Because I don't like to just, "Well, trust me," God says. "Well, Lord, show me. Show me what you're doing. Show me what's going on. Show me why I'm going through this. Don't just say, 'Trust me.' Let me understand, Lord," you know, and I'm trying to reduce it to my understanding because we just don't like the walk of faith, to be tested by God in our faith. But it's important that our faith be tested. Now, Abraham, of course, faced then the supreme test of faith. For when his son Isaac had grown, was perhaps somewhere around 30 years of age, still not married, had no children, but God had promised Abraham, through Isaac shall thy seed be called. God one day said to Abraham, Abraham, I want you to take now your son, your only son, Isaac, the one that you love. I want you to offer him as a burnt offering unto me on a mountain that I will show you. The supreme test of faith. God said, through Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now God is saying, offer Isaac as a burnt offering unto me in a mountain that I will show you. Abraham figures, God, you've got a problem. I know that you have promised me that through Isaac, my seed will be called. He doesn't have any children. He's not married. But I know you're going to keep your promise. And now, Lord, you're asking me to offer him as a sacrifice unto you. You've got a problem, Lord. And Abraham journeyed with his servants and with Isaac for 3 days from the area of Hebron until they came to Mount Moriah. And there Abraham said to the servants, you remain here. I and the lad will go and worship God and will come again. And as Abraham was going up the hillside with Isaac, Isaac said, Dad, we've forgotten something. We've got the fire and we've got the wood, but we forgot the sacrifice. And Abraham answered and said, Son, God will provide himself a sacrifice. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And so when they came to the top of the hill, Abraham bound Isaac and placed him on the altar. And we are told here that Abraham believed that God would raise him from the dead, if necessary, to fulfill the promise. I have God's promise. Through Isaac, the seed will be called. God has asked me to offer him as a sacrifice. I know that God will raise him from the dead, if necessary, because the word of God will not fail. What a test of faith. What a supreme test of faith. Actually, God was painting a beautiful picture here. We won't go into that in detail now. But in reality, when God said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, offer him as a sacrifice on a mountain which I will show you, you have, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Interestingly enough, he brought Abraham to Mount Moriah. And when Isaac said, we don't have the sacrifice, he said God will provide himself a sacrifice. And 2,000 years on Mount Moriah, God's only begotten son whom he loved was sacrificed for the sins of the world. On the spot where Abraham had built his altar, on that spot the cross was raised and Jesus died, the only begotten son of God for our sins. And it was seen in the mount of the Lord. Abraham called the place Jehovah Jireh, saying, the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice, which indeed he did through Jesus Christ. Abraham journeyed for 3 days. In those 3 days, his son was as good as dead in his mind, but of course was resurrected when God provided the ram in the thicket. And so the supreme test of faith. Why does God test our faith? I think it's because, for one, it's so easy for us to assert a certain thing. Words are easy. It's so easy to say, well, I believe God. Well, yes, I trust in God. Yes, I believe the promises of God. It's easy to say that. But it is not always a reality. And so I believe that God tests our faith to bring us to reality, to realize that many times we are saying things that aren't true in actuality when it comes right down to it. I falter, I fail. A while back, a young man came up to me and he was seeking some financial help from me. And as he was talking to me about his life, he kept saying over and over again, I have all of the faith in the world. And over he's repeating, I have all the faith in the world. And I got to thinking, man, if you've got all the faith in the world, you've got more faith than I have. Why are you asking me for money? I ought to be asking you. Because you're the one with the great faith. You have all the faith in the world. I'm far from that. I wish I did, but I'm far from that. You see, it's easy for us to say something like that. And often it's quite another thing to actually possess real faith in God, real faith in the promises of God. It's possible to say something so often that you come to believe it yourself. Have you ever heard of the old saying, if you tell a lie often enough, you'll come to believe it? And that's true, I think, in the assertions that we make so many times about our great faith or our believing in the God or I believe in scriptures, that we come to believe, well, yes, I really have all the faith in the world, you know. And in reality, our faith is very weak and we don't know it. And so God puts us through the test to reveal what's in our hearts. That's what David prayed. Lord, search me. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there's a way of wickedness in me. God, put me through the test that I might know myself. You see, God doesn't test us to see whether or not our faith is genuine. He knows the truth about our faith. We don't. Because our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And the Lord said, who can know it? But he said, I, the Lord, do search the hearts. God knows the truth about me. I don't know the truth about myself. And so God puts me through tests, allows me to go through tests to show to me the truth about myself, which is important that I know. Lest I be deceived, lest I believe that I'm stronger than I really am. Lest I am resting in a false premise that I've made over and over again. I think that God also tests our faith that we might grow. He puts us through testings. Often he starts with little things. And I find that he is faithful. Well, I was worried, but he came through. So he puts me through another test, similar, maybe a little greater. I get worried. Oh, but he came through. And as we walk in faith through life, we learn and we discover that God does keep his promise. God does keep his word, and my faith grows. So it comes to the place when I'm facing some big issue. God has been faithful all the way along. Yes, God's going to take care of it. He'll provide. No, I don't know how, but, you know, he's not failed yet. He's not going to start failing now. And so through the testing, our faith grows, and God is interested that our faith be increased. In the early years of our ministry, Kay and I went through several experiences of having our faith tested. The first church that we pastored, our salary was $15 a week And we had to pay $45 a month for our apartment. So oftentimes, we found our faith tested as far as where's the evening meal going to come from. And sometimes there'd be groceries left on the front porch. Sometimes people would call up and say, would you guys like to come over for dinner tonight? And we'd say, you bet. But most generally, God would provide for the evening meal from the afternoon mail. We'd go to our post office box, and there would be a letter with a check or a $5 bill, $10 bill, enough to get food for dinner. It was so consistent, so regular, we almost began to trust in the post office. And one afternoon, we went over to the post office to get our money for dinner. And to our great disappointment and chagrin, there was no mail for us that day. And we said, what are we going to do? We went back to our little apartment. We dumped out her purses. We went through all my pants and coat pockets. Went through the dresser drawers. We found 37 cents. So we headed for the market to find out how nutritious a meal we could buy for 37 cents. And we were quite proud of ourselves. Amazed at just what you can get for 37 cents when you're really hungry. And so when we went up to the register, the fellow totaled it up. He said 37 cents, and I dumped out all the pennies and everything else that we had. And as we started for the door, he called to us. He said, hey, kids, come back here a minute. He said, you kids have that little church down the street there. He said, my boys go to Sunday school down there, and I've been intending to do this for a long time, and I just keep forgetting. And he reached under the counter and gave us a $10 grocery certificate. And I said to Kay, honey, go over to the meat case and pick out a couple of steaks. It's obvious that God is treating us for dinner tonight, so why not eat steak, you know? He can afford it. But through the test and the little things, discovering over and over God is faithful, then you begin to realize that God can provide $100 just as easily as $5. And then you realize, well, he can provide $1,000 as easily as he can provide $100. And then you realize, well, he can provide $100,000 just as easily as he can provide $1,000. And so we've watched through the years the faithfulness of God in meeting the needs. So that your faith grows, you have confidence. God's going to take care of it. God will provide. We have his word, we have his promise, and he has shown himself to be faithful to his promise over and over again. And because of the testings and the going through and discovering the faithfulness of God, our faith does grow. Peter wrote, rather, the trial of your faith is much more valuable than gold that perishes. For though your faith is tested with fire, may it bring praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, yet you love. And though you have not seen him yet, yet you rejoice with a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You see, that's the most important thing. The faith for salvation. the end of my faith, the salvation. But it has to be a genuine faith. And so God puts me through the test to allow me to see how true the faith is that I am affirming. God said to the children of Israel, "You shall remember all of the way which the Lord your God led thee for 40 years in the wilderness, to humble you, to prove you, and to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." Not to prove to God, he knew the truth, but to prove to them in order that they might know the truth. Perhaps some of you today feel like you're in the fire. Your faith is being tested to the limits. God has a purpose. He's going to prove some things to you. You're going to discover just how great your faith is as it is put to the fire. Peter said, "Don't count it strange concerning the fiery trials which are to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you." God allows us to go through the fire, but he gives us the promise. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned." That our faith might appear to the glory of the Lord in the day of salvation, when one day I stand before him, pleasing in his sight, because I believe that he is, and I believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. As we sang today, "Jesus, Jesus, how I trust thee, how I've proved thee o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh for grace to trust him more." He'll give us that grace, but we'll be put through the test that we might discover how genuine is the faith that we profess to have. Father, we thank you for the testings of faith. Though we must admit at the time we don't like it, but yet we like the results that come from it. And so, Lord, we just commit now our ways unto you. Guide and direct our paths. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? When going through the real testings, the thing that you want to do is hang on to the word. Go back to the promise. You know, we used to sing, "Standing on the promises." And that's what you need to do. You need to stand on the promises. Take the word of God and the promises of God and just hold on to it. Stand on it. And God is faithful, and you'll discover that. And when you do, your faith will grow. So may the Lord be with you and bless you and give you ever-increasing faith through his love and grace.